So this is week two of our series, Rooted, Growing and Sowing. And the purpose of this series over these next few weeks is to introduce each one of us to the strategic priorities for us as a church as we move forward post-pandemic. And as a leadership team, we've been thinking and praying, and we've also consulted you as a church through a survey as to what you believe God might be saying to us. And so this series is very much the fruit of all those thoughts and discussions and the feedback that you have given. Last week, I looked at what it means for us to be rooted in worship and how important it is for us as a church as we move forward to really prioritise our gathering times of worship. And this week we're going to continue with this theme of being rooted, and we're going to think about what it means to be rooted in Scripture, in the Bible, and what it means to be rooted in prayer. So this week we're very much still in the bottom of the painting. We're in these golden roots. And what does it mean for us to put roots down deep in our prayer life and in our study and our understanding of God's word? And many of you will know that the theme of roots and soil are a big part of the Bible. It's a theme that runs all the way through God's word. We see it at different times. In the Old Testament, for example, Israel, God's people, were told that God is going to root them in the land. It says this in Isaiah 27. God says, "In days to come, Jacob," that's Israel, "will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and fill all the world with fruit." So God's plan for his people right from the early days would be that they would become like a root in the world and that they would be fruitful in that place that they are. And into the New Testament, Jesus picks up this theme of roots and soil. He tells in Matthew 13, he tells the story of the parable of the sower. And at one point in that parable, Jesus says this, that some of the seed fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Still another seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop. So for Jesus, this idea of having roots and the kind of soil that you're planted in was really important. And he says that when God's word goes out, that if it finds good soil, then the roots can go down deep, that will make a difference in people's lives. But where there isn't that good soil, where there aren't those good roots, there's an issue. And quickly, God's word kind of is scorched, it dries up in the lives. And in Colossians 2, Paul continues this theme as well. And it was his prayer for the church in Colossae that he says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him." Look at what he says, "Be rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." That Paul saw the need for the early church, for those early followers of Jesus, to put roots down deep in Jesus and in their understanding of him. And in one more of his letters in the book of Ephesians, and in chapter 3, he continues that theme one step more. And we're going to hear from Sonia now as she reads those verses to us.
"When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. You may and have the power to understand as all God's people should. How wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ through it. Is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the faithfulness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty powers at work within us to accomplish infinity more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Great, thank you, Sonia. And don't know if you picked it up, but the central part of that prayer that Sonia read to us, that Paul prays, it says this, that he asks that those people are rooted and established in love. Now, just as we see in our picture, the dandelions here have these deep golden roots going down. You see, you can almost imagine Paul as he prays. That's what he's asking God to do for that early church, for those early followers of Jesus, that they have these golden roots, these deep roots that go down as they fully understand who Jesus is and that they're established in him as well. I love how it puts it in the Living Bible. He says this slightly differently. May your roots go down deep in the soil of God's marvellous love. And for us as a leadership team, for me as the minister of Friends and Free Church, that's my hope for each one of us as we move on. As we move on for the next few years, as we move towards our vision. That we know what it is to have our roots going down deep in the soil of God's marvellous love. That we know who he is. We know his plans and his purposes for us. That our identity is found in him. And that therefore our roots are so deep within him. Now, as I've been thinking and praying this for us, it's got me thinking, what is the role of roots out in creation? What role do roots play? And is there anything that we can learn about them and for our lives? And roots do three things, mainly, and you probably know this already, but it was good to refresh myself on what roots do. Roots take up water and nutrients to the plant or to the tree. And there's one bit, the biggest root in particular, will go down deeper than any of the others, seeking out that nutrient, seeking out that water that will sustain the tree or sustain the plant. Roots are there to anchor the plant or the tree. They keep it upright. They give the tree or the plant stability. And we'll know that, you know, some roots go so far, especially on trees, they'll go a long way from the tree and they'll go so deep so that when a storm comes, when the rain comes, when that hurricane comes, they're still standing. I've just been doing some planting in our back garden at the manse and putting new plants in. And, you know, it was great because we had all that rain and I was able to dig and make some good soil for them and fertilise it. And I put the plants in. But then, of course, once the plants are in, the rains and the wind still continued. And I was looking out of the window because I knew that their roots weren't established yet. And I was thinking, don't rain too hard, don't blow too hard because you're going to wreck these plants. Yeah, so because the roots, they anchor the plant when they're established and when they're mature. And then, of course, roots store food. They store the nutrients for when it's needed. A plant knows that there's not always going to be rain, that there isn't going to always be those good nutrients in the soil. So the plants will push some of those nutrients into the plant and they'll use them straight away. But it will hold back some as well in case there is a time of drought, in case there is a time when there isn't rain and it can draw on those reserves. So for me, and I hope you can see this as well, being rooted is a fantastic analogy for us as we follow Jesus. And as Paul prays, that he wants us to be rooted and established in love, rooted and established in God's marvellous love. It's a great analogy for us. Because if we are deeply rooted in God's love, then we will take up the water, we will take up the nutrients through our soul of God's love, and we will the good things of God will become evident in our lives. They will give us strength, they will keep us healthy. But also, the deeper we are in God's love, the more of an anchor that is for us, the more it keeps us upright, the more it gives us stability. When the storms, when the rains of life come, the deeper we are anchored in God's love, the more likely we are to still be standing at the end. And of course, the deeper we are in God's love, the more we can store up within us. So when a time of drought comes, when a spiritual drought comes, and that does happen sometimes, doesn't it, where we just struggle in our faith and God doesn't feel so close to us. It's then that we draw on the reserves of his love and everything we've learned and everything that we know about him that can sustain us during those times. You know, in that passage in Ephesians chapter 3, I love what's placed around that central verse, that what's placed around verse 17, because I think Paul paints a picture of what it looks like when we are rooted and established in God's love, in the verses before verse 17 and in the verses after it as well. Look at what Paul says. In verse 16, he prays and he says that we would know God's supernatural strength within us. Look at what he says. He says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." That being rooted and established in his love means that we have that strength in our inner beings of his Spirit. In verse 17, he says, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, that you may have Christ dwell in your hearts through faith." That being rooted and established in his love means knowing that Jesus is living inside of us. In verse 18, he says, "I pray that you may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, long, high and deep is the love of Christ." That being rooted and established in God's love means that we can grasp just how much he loves us. And finally, he says that, "and to know this love that surpasses knowledge," and listen to this, "that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." That being rooted and established in his love means that we are, this is an incredible phrase, isn't it? That we are filled with the fullness of God. That it's possible for our roots to go so deep down in God's love that we are filled to the fullness of God. Incredible thought that is. All those things are available to us if our roots go down deep in Jesus. And listen, Paul explains that this isn't a one-time offer. At the start of all those things, he says this in verse 16, that out of his glorious, and some versions of the Bible say unlimited riches, that out of God's glorious and unlimited riches, that we would know what it means to have God's supernatural strength within us, that we would know what it means to have Jesus living within us, that we would have an understanding of Jesus' love, that we would be filled to the fullness of God. And this is unlimited. That means that what our roots can tap into just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. There is no drought. There is no end to this goodness, to this water, to these nutrients that God wants to send our way. That whenever we want to, we can tap into this because it's God's glorious and unlimited riches that we can tap into. It just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. Do you know, have you ever wondered what you can pray for your brothers and sisters within church? Have you ever thought of what are the good things I can pray? This is what we can pray for each other. These verses here in Ephesians chapter 3. That you can grab your Bible in the morning and you can say, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, may being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, long, high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I'm not sure there's anything better we can be praying for each other in the church. An incredible thing to ask God to do in our lives. How do we do this? How do we make sure that our roots go down deep? How do we make sure that we're rooted and established in love? I think that we tap into the soil of worship, the soil of scripture, and the soil of prayer. Now, last week I said, you know, we need to see gathered worship not as an optional extra, not as something we do if we've got time during the week, but it becomes the highlight, the priority of our week to get along and to worship alongside our brothers and sisters. And do you know what? I think it's the same with scripture, and I think it's the same with prayer. These aren't optional extras. You know, tapping into God's word, tapping into a prayer life isn't something we do during the day if we have time. If there's nothing better to watch on Netflix, if there's nobody else who needs to see us, then perhaps I'll read my Bible, then I think I'll pray. No, these are our roots. This is what we're rooted in. And you know what? If we were to pull one of these dandelions out of that soil, if we were to pull its roots up, it's not going to survive for very long. And it's the same for you and for me. These aren't optional extras. This is where our nutrients, this is where our water comes from. This is what keeps us stable and secure. This is what we can draw on when times are tough. We've got to be rooted in scripture. Got to be rooted in prayer. So let's have a look at scripture, shall we? Let's have a look at prayer and why these are important and what it might look for us moving forward. You know, being rooted in scripture is an incredible gift from God. You know, the Bible tells us that God is always close to us. He's always nearby. But there are those times where it can be harder to connect with him. There are those times where it can be difficult to kind of hear from him. And so he's given us the Bible, he's given us scripture, that's something we can always go to and we can always hear from him. I love this picture from Psalm chapter 1 of what a person who loves God's word looks like. It says this, the law of the Lord gives them joy. They think about his law day and night. That kind of person is like a tree that is planted near a stream of water. It always bears its fruit at the right time. Its leaves don't dry up. That is fantastic, isn't it? For that man or that woman who loves God's word, who loves his law, who loves their Bible. That we're like a tree that is, what is it? It's planted, it's rooted near a stream of water. A fantastic place to plant a tree with all the goodness that's going to be around there. And this tree is then fruitful. It's got all those nutrients nearby. It's got a stream nearby. So it's never going to dry up. You know, for me, I want to raise our expectations as a church. I want to raise our commitment levels to God's word so that each one of us becomes like a tree that is planted near a stream. That we're in the best possible place to be planted. That we're like a field of dandelions planted near a stream. That we're fruitful, we're luscious, and we don't dry up because we love God's word. In another version of the Bible, it says that someone who loves God's word is like they chew on it day and night, that it's food for them all the time. And you know, Our relationship with God's word is so important. Yeah, I'm a big believer that we don't just follow this book blindly. That we read it and we study it and we understand it and then we apply it to our lives. Now, we don't just read it and go, well, that's what it says, so that's what I'm going to do. We seek to understand it. We seek to know why it was written in that way and the big picture of what's trying to be, what God's trying to communicate to us. And then we apply it to our lives. You know, as maturing Christians, as adults, we need to be using God's word as adults. You know, recognising the challenges that it presents, recognising that, especially in today's culture, more and more how God's word butts up against where our society's going, and being honest about that. And saying, do you know what? It's difficult. It's difficult. It's hard to read some of God's word in today's society because it seems to be so countercultural, so difficult. But you know, Paul in the New Testament, in the letters that he writes to the church, he compares it to having like baby milk and then moving on to solids. And for us over these coming years, post-pandemic, I think there's a challenge for us to take our discipleship seriously, to take our commitment to God's word seriously. So we move on from baby milk and we start to eat it as solid food to help us to grow. And you know, it's important for us as well to know the big picture of God's word. Not just to know certain parts of it or certain stories within it or certain verses, but we start to know the big picture of it. I love how Tom Wright, or N.T. Wright as he sometimes writes, describes God's word. He's a great theologian, Tom Wright, and he says that he pictures God's word as like a five-act play. And he describes it as being like a Shakespearean play that is unfinished. And he says you can imagine some historians finding some documents and they find that it's a play that Shakespeare's written, but he never got to finish the fifth act. And so people are looking at it and saying, well, what do we do? How can we finish this play? And I guess there's a few choices they've got. He says if they had this unfinished Shakespeare play, they could get a playwright to write the final act and to finish off Shakespeare's play for him. But Tom Wright says that wouldn't be great because therefore you would be almost crediting Shakespeare with a final act that he didn't write. And if it wasn't what he wanted to write, then that wouldn't be such a great thing if that's not how Shakespeare imagined it finishing. He says no better would be to get a group of actors together to study the first four acts of that play. And to really understand it, and to really know it, and to know the characters of that play, and to know the themes and the language, and why what happens in those first four acts happens in the way it does, why the culture is like it is. And then what you would do, once they've studied it, once they've understood it, you'd then say to them, now improvise Act 5. How do you think it would finish? Take all those loose ends of the story so far and bring them together. Use the authority of the first four acts of the play and use it to help you innovate what is to come next. And Tom Wright says, do you know what? As the church today, it's like we're in Act 5 of God's Word. And it's our job as the church today to study and understand everything that has come before. All the big themes, all of God's passion, all of His heart, the culture and the people. And to say, right, how can we bring all these threads together into our lives today to continue this play that God has started? This allows for incredible innovation within the church today. That we don't just do what came before, but we give it momentum and movement and we move the story forward. But there's also consistency, because we take the authority of what's come before, these first four acts of God's word, and we use that as well. Our task is to improvise the fifth act of God's big story, to bring all those threads together. And if we're going to do this well as God's church today, we must understand and appreciate what's come before, so we don't fluff our lines, so we don't get it wrong. And so for you and me, as we move forward as a church together, my heart, my passion is that we love God's word. We understand the challenges of it, but we love it. And we understand the authority of it, and we innovate together as we move forward. And we understand the big picture, not just one or two stories within it. So what's that going to look like for you and me as we move forward? Here's some ideas of what we want to do. We're really going to put some energy behind the My Next Step discipleship courses. You know, a year or two before the pandemic, we set up what I believe was a really fantastic website as a resource with so many courses on it that helped us, each one of us, to take our next step with God and as disciples. And so within this resource, there's going to be courses to help us to engage with God's word and to understand it. None of them, I think, are more important than the Walk Through the Bible courses, which we're going to be running, that help us really understand the Old Testament and then the New Testament, God's big story. They're going to help us understand these four acts of the play that have already come, so that we can play our part in the fifth act. Alongside the My Next Step discipleship courses that you can look out for, is I'd love a culture to develop where each one of us is planted in a connect group. Now, connect groups are a fantastic place to help us as disciples, to help us understand God's word, to cheer each other on, to sometimes discuss those difficult bits, those challenges within God's word. So many of us are involved in connect groups. I would love to get all of us plugged in to a connect group. And then it says there, the Freeze Leadership School. One of my highlights, one of Sally's highlights during lockdown has been running a monthly leadership class online for our ministry leaders and for others who have plugged into that. And as we move on into the autumn and over these next few years, we're going to be putting a lot of energy into the Freeze Leadership School, where we help leaders within our church and potential new leaders to really understand God's word, to really understand what it means to lead using God's word, and then to apply it to the ministries that we're in and to the rest of our lives. So you can look out for those three things. That's what it, for me, it's going to look like, being rooted in Scripture. And finally, we want to be rooted in prayer. John 15, one of my favourite chapters in the Bible, I do preach on it quite a bit, is where Jesus describes himself as the vine and as us as branches. For me, it's the best description of a disciple in the Bible. And in verse 5 of John 15, Jesus says this. He says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me," Jesus says, "you can do nothing." You know, for me as a disciple and for us as a church of disciples, the way we learn to remain in Jesus is in a deep rhythm of prayer. And when we pray, we remain in Jesus. We abide in him. We dwell in him. We rest in him. We realise that we're rooted in him, that we're established in him. Now it says here, Jesus says, "apart from me, you can do nothing." Now I think that's one of the most frightening statements in the Bible, isn't it? Jesus says, "apart from me, if you're separated from me, You can do nothing. You know, if we take this analogy of us being branches and him the vine, well, we can see that, can't we? While it's attached to the vine, a branch is a branch. It's going to bear fruit. If it comes away from the vine, what is it? It's a stick. It's a twig on the ground. Later on in John 15 says, you know, those are burnt. They're not of any use anymore. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But the flip side of that, he says, if you remain in me, if you stay grafted to me, if you stay rooted in me, you're going to bear much fruit. This takes us back to the beginning, doesn't it? Why? Because that's where the nutrients are going to come from. That's where stability is, if you're attached to the vine. That's where the store of food can be pushed out into us. And that's our prayer life. Every time we set time aside to pray, whether in silent contemplative prayer, whether it's with others, every time we invest in that, Jesus is pushing out everything that's good of him into us. You know, a few years ago, I remember going home after work and I was in our kitchen and I was getting dinner ready for the family, and like, this huge headache came on me, just like a wave of a headache. It was really bad, really quickly. And I remember just having to come away from the stove and having to sit down and at the kitchen table. I remember getting myself a glass of water and just sitting there taking a moment just to drink. And I realised I needed to drink some water because I was dehydrated. You know, all that day here at the church and in my office, I'd just drunk black coffee, mug after mug of black coffee. And of course I was dehydrated. Coffee's not great to give you the hydration that you need. And you know, in that moment, I remember God saying to me, Mark, this is what happens to you spiritually when you neglect to pray. He said, when you neglect to pray, you become spiritually dehydrated. He said, you know, I can't push out all this good stuff I have for you into your life. And he said, if you get that rhythm of prayer, if you spend time regularly with me, then I'm going to hydrate you spiritually. We want to stay hydrated spiritually. We need to be rooted in him. We need to be a branch grafted to the vine. How do we do that? It's when we pray. And you know, here at The Free, we love to think about our rhythm of prayer, our prayer life, as being a bit like a triangle. And we need to be praying small, medium and large. We need to be praying small, that's just one-on-one with God, that every day we've got a rhythm of prayer in our lives. You know, at the start of the day, middle of the day, the end of the day, there are those moments where we're stopping, where we're praying. That we pray in medium, that in a small group. And one of the things as we move forward as a church is we're going to explore introducing prayer triplets again and small community prayer groups that are going to be praying. Groups that you can get to know each other really well with just two or three others. And you can spur each other on to pray. And then we want to be praying large as well, and our continued commitment to regular large prayer gatherings here at the church, whether that's at the start of a term or at other times during the year with our half nights of prayer. Think of your prayer life as a triangle, and try and fill each of those areas, small, medium and large. And then moving on from there, together with Martin Wall, who's our elder, whose responsibility for prayer, we're going to be looking over these coming years to produce prayer resources, things that can help us to continue with that rhythm of prayer. We're going to continue to use technology, Zoom prayer meetings. Sally started our time together by mentioning our Zoom prayer meetings. They've been fantastic, and they're just a very easy way of quickly getting a large number of people together to pray. We're going to carry on with those, as well as doing in-person prayer meetings. And lastly, just we're going to regularly share prayer stories. One of my favourite things that somebody mentioned in our survey was they said, do you know what, you often ask us to pray for people, but you don't often tell us the result of that and how that person is getting on. So we're going to develop this culture where we share answers to prayer, and we're going to be asking you regularly to do that as a church, to just either come and film a prayer story or send something in that we can read where you've seen God at work, where you've been praying and where others have been praying and there's been a resolution to that story. So more prayer resources, more use of technology, and more stories about prayer coming your way soon. We want to be a church as we move forward that is rooted, that has these deep, deep, big dandelion golden roots going beneath the ground. As we move forward as a church, let's stay rooted in our worship. Let's you and I have a commitment to God's word, being rooted in that, being that tree, being those dandelions planted next to a stream. And let's remain in Jesus, in the vine, as we dwell, as we abide with him in prayer.